This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pink Popcorn, the movie review show that finds a little bit of homo in every film. My name is Paul Tonta.
And I'm Kylie Eddy.
Move away from food, let's get into films.
Straight into the films. There's a new Australian documentary called Mrs. Carey's Concert. We'll be reviewing that. Plus the Israeli film, The Human Resources Manager. And finally,
a little bit of blockbuster.
A little bit.
A big Easter egg of Thor. I know, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, with an all-star Australian, you know, English... Irish American cast.
I know, it's very eclectic, isn't it?
It is.
But let's just, as long as the fellas get their shirts off,
that's a bonus for lots of people. And today we're joined by Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream, which is on Tuesday at 10 PM on Joy 94.9. So welcome, Sonia.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Alan's, because Alan's off in dumpling land at the moment. He's in China.
Wow.
I know. Ooh. It's crazy, isn't it?
And your show, obviously, as the name states, is all about sci-fi. But You don't just limit it to films, do you?
No, we do fiction as well, like novels. And actually this Tuesday, we're doing steampunk.
Ooh.
Oh, I only just heard about that.
Oh, okay. Better late than never.
It's so true. It's not really, it's a new thing for me.
It's not your corset.
No,
I love the title of steampunk. It's just so wonderful. Yeah. And I mean, in terms of steampunk, because I know there's a couple of films, the Australian film, The Mysterious Geographic Explorations of Jasper Morello. And also
that's a mouthful, yes.
Yeah, I know it is. Mm-hmm. Oof, great film. And the Japanese anime... oh my gosh, not Metropolis. Anyway, there's some fantastic Japanese anime that is steampunk. So yeah, no.
I think you're thinking of Steam, actually.
Steam.
Oh.
I'm going to do some research.
I think it might be Steam. So yeah, Sarah Harvey, who's actually, she writes lesbian steampunk fiction.
Fantastic.
Wow.
There is such a thing.
Oh my God.
And Robert Rankin. I've got an interview with him.
Right.
Yep.
I have to really listen in, and I have to listen to your podcast, clearly. So you podcast. Mainly. Clearly you podcast as well, don't you?
Ah, yes. All by myself, but yes. You know the feeling.
I do know the feeling. So if you have missed Sonia's shows in the past, you can just go to joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream. And the podcasts are all there for your listening pleasure. So she's going to be pushing the buttons for us today. And we haven't got any sci-fi. Well, Thor sci-fi.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, totally.
Fantasy
absolutely.
Comics.
Oh, yeah. Sci-fi. Gee.
It's a big universe at sci-fi.
You are very strict with your categorizations.
It's genre, people.
Exactly.
Oh, well, we've got lots to look forward to in this show. And how can you get in touch with us, Paul?
You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. So let us know what films you've seen over the Easter break. You may have already seen Thor, because we'll be reviewing that at the end. So, you know, we'll get some comments on that. You can also Facebook search for Pink Popcorn. So first up, we'll be listening to Best Friend by The Drums. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
Mrs. Carey's Concert is a new film from Academy Award nominee Rob Connolly. At a SISTE Sydney Girls School MLC, music director Karen Carey prepares her young students for a concert at the Opera House. Believing in the transformative power of great music, Carey insists on a classical repertoire, sets a dauntingly high performance standard, and requires the participation of every single girl in the school, but not everyone shares her passion. Actually, you know what? I should sing the words, but it's classical. So
when you
get
into the Opera House with the whole school and you're doing these amazing work, the end result is...
Yeah, but the thing is, right, we don't want to be there.
There is no hiding. You cannot hide. You have to give your best.
Why am I doing it? Why am I spending hours and hours on these kids?
Applause.
I love
applause.
How she said it's. I love hearing an Aussie accent in the trailers and they go, why am I hiding?
Why am I hiding this? Why am I doing this? No, yes, of course. They're very upper class in Sydney, the MLC. I'm not sure where this is in Sydney, being a complete Melbourneite. But I really love this film. It is quite amazing. It was the opening night film of the Adelaide Film Festival earlier this year. And the director, Bob Connolly, he's one of Australia's most famous documentarians. He has made a number of films, Rats in the Ranks, Facing the Music. And this is... pretty extraordinary achievement. And I was thinking about with documentaries, you've really got, you know, they're either subject-based or character-driven or what have you. And basically this one, you've just got great characters. I mean, you know, with documentaries, you've really got fantastic... This documentary, you've got fantastic characters, this wonderful scenario where they're giving a concert. So, you know, you've got this end
point. You've got the timeline.
You've got an end point. and you've got real emotion because you're dealing with these teachers who want to, you know, excel. You know, do they want to achieve success for their students or for themselves, their own personal gain? You've got these kids who either, A, don't want to be there most of the time or,
grumpy teenage girls, right?
Which
there.
Are phenomenal. There's one in there, Lily. If you want a grumpy teenager, oh god, she's awesome in it. So in terms of the characters in the film, you basically got Mrs. Carey as the teacher. She's the head of the music department. There's a number of other teachers in there as well, but then on the students, you've really got two main girls. One, Emily, who's an incredibly gifted violin player, and they want, the teachers want Emily to be the lead.
She's like the soloist, isn't she?
Exactly, yeah. Right, yes. And she's very reluctant. She's had a tragedy early in her life, and she's a really quiet, reserved girl. She really says she doesn't... She's asked at the start of the film, does she want to be the leader of the orchestra? And she just doesn't really want to. She doesn't want to be a leader. And she wants to follow, not lead. The other main character is Lily, who is the precocious, really surly...
Is she a bit emo or is she...
No, she's not really emo. She's just whatever. Like, she's just like... She literally is like, whatever, I don't want to do it. Like, when they're practicing and they're singing, she just doesn't do it. She just sits there, just cross her arms and looks at everybody, these daggers.
Stink eye.
Oh, it's fantastic. and they really don't know, like the teachers just don't know how to handle her. Like, it's quite extraordinary. They really just, and this fantastic scene where Lily is like, you know, without the teachers being present, just speaking with the filmmakers, you know, she is, I just know how to deal with humans. They're not hard to work out. She's just like, she's 16 and she knows everything. She's that fantastic teenager.
Oh,
she
they knows just know everything,
everything
that's ever been known.
I want her to see this film in like 10 years' time. You know, I want to look back and go, really?
I was a precocious brat.
My God, someone should have just slapped me. But as a drama, look, it is fantastic. And there are so many wonderful characters in the teachers. So there's one teacher particularly I love in there. She's just this really generous soul and really generous, you know, loving spirit. You can just tell she'd be the best teacher.
It's really, the style is fly on the wall, isn't it?
Absolutely,
there's
yes.
No narration per se. There's no, it just follows the stories of the students. And this is a biannual concert that they do.
Exactly.
So it's over about 18 months, I think they shot.
Mm. Yeah.
I did see an interview with Bob Connolly, the director, and he's co-directs with his partner.
Well, his wife, who passed away a number of years ago, unfortunately, Robin Anderson. She
oh, that's right.
Prison. This is his first film since, I think, 2004. This is his first film. And it's co-directed by her name, Sophie Raymond.
Yeah.
So this is his first film, not with Robin.
I mean, you really would need the support because you're in the trenches for 18 months and you really don't know if there's any way it's going to work out. And because he doesn't rely on a narrator to go back and kind of cover the holes, you just have to film everything. And hope that in the editing process, the things that you've kind of planned pay off.
And you're exactly right. And the editing in this would have been, because the concert was in 2008. So obviously it's taken a long time to edit. And you can tell they're really, to fashion the narrative in there. And because they would have shot hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage.
Oh, 18 months.
Yeah, it's insane.
And then how many girls are in the, you know, there's hundreds of girls out there in there. So, I mean, I think they really had to, I mean, choose how they were going to structure it.
Yes.
In amongst, I mean, that is like my worst nightmare. Going through all that footage.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I really respect documentary makers for doing that for us.
Oh, absolutely. No, yes, thank you very much. So in terms of, I mean, queer content, there is no queer content in the film. But, I mean, thinking about it, it's the thing I really liked about, one of the things I really liked about this film is with the kids, you know, we've all been to school. You know, a lot of us have done music and sport, whatever it is that we didn't want to do, and they're forced to do it. And, you know, you just go, and it's someone who obviously, when they're talking about emotion and you know, they're saying to the students, okay, bring something to this, and what are you thinking and what are you feeling? These kids haven't even lived their life.
Yeah.
You know, they've got you know, issues and problems. I mean, nothing queer about it, but I was just sort of projecting, going, this is going to be really interesting if there's some queer kids and they're being told, okay, you know,
you have to do this.
You got to do this, and what's your emotion? Or have you, you know, have you had a draw on some well of emotion? And anyway, I think it's ripper. And the concert itself goes for about 20 odd minutes, or the excerpts. And so, you know, it's, you get a lot, and it's pretty fantastic. I got to say, it's very rousing.
Rousing, I love it. And so how many stars are you
giving?
I'm giving
it 4 stars.
Right, 4 out of 5. Yeah, that is fantastic. It's a fantastic. Huge wrap.
And it's in limited release right now. So, yeah, not many cinemas at all. So, you know, check the directories.
Have a feeling, though, that this might be one of those things that's screened on free-to-air TV at some point.
Yeah.
And obviously DVD. But yeah, if you want to see it now,
it's I think especially for the music, if you like, because the music is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and they're school kids, but yeah, it's pretty good awesome. It's
they've
really,
been practicing for 2 years.
Really awesome, yeah. So I think definitely check it out on the big screen. So yes, Mrs. Carey's Concert. Coming up on the show, we'll be talking Thor, but up next is the Human Resources Manager. This is I Can Show You, but Tim and John, this is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
That was Katie Lang. Oh, God, I love Katie Lang so much, with Habit of Mine. This is Pink Popcorn. What?
You are such a lesbian.
I'm such a lesbian. I'm a total lesbian. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
I think that's called lesbros.
Really?
It's like gay guys who hang out with lesbians, not okay, who want to be lesbians.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you're a lesbros. Something.
Let us know.
I'm sure. Exactly. I love those terms. It's so good. All right, back to the movie reviews. The Human Resources Manager is a tragicomedy centered on the HR manager of Israel's largest industrial bakery, who sets out to save the reputation of his business and prevent the publication of a newspaper article after one of their workers, who is a Romanian woman, is killed in a terrorist attack. On a mission to do the right thing, the human resource manager travels with the woman's body from Jerusalem to her hometown in Eastern Europe, but things are never as simple as the best laid plans.
I really like this film, and one of the biggest...
I knew you would like this film!
One of the biggest issues I have with this film is that when I saw it a few weeks ago, and all the, you know, advertising and the title and everything, it just seems like Dullsville. It really just doesn't sell it as anything other than this kind of, even like the synopsis, which of course is true, it
yes,
really does sell it as a very kind of dour, serious film. It's not. It's actually a really wonderful, life-affirming kind of, you know, comedy, drama, comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I love that you think that. I didn't really laugh much during it. And even reading that line saying tragicomedy, I'm like,
I don't think there's laughs. I don't think there's, look, there's not belly laughs, but there's definitely, you know, it's humorous.
There is a moment in the film where the journalist, so basically the human resource manager, this, you know, it's kind of like a motley crew. They have to go across this.
It's a road movie. Yeah, it's a road movie, and everyone disparate people.
And they've
all got problems, and they all come
together.
Issues. But it's not as clunky.
I have to finish this thought. And so the journalist who's going to write this horrible newspaper article, which kind of has stirred up all this trouble in the very first place, goes along with them to kind of document it to make sure that they do the right thing. And partway through, he does say the line, he says, it's not funny, ha ha, it's funny, depressing. And I went, truer words have never been spoken.
But that's the thing. I guess it's more like, I mean, I like Scandinavian cinema and a lot of South American cinema, like Argentinian, which is a very droll and very, very dry.
Yes.
And that's what this is. This is that kind of, you know, cinema. Israeli cinema, we don't get too many films in cinemas from Israel. The last one, well, Lemon Tree is the previous film from this director, which I thought was fabulous, which is more quite dramatic. But the previous big Israeli film was called The Band's Visit, which was, you know, a real dry comedy, which is a huge success. And was my favourite film about 4 years ago. I think it's magnificent. So Israeli cinema, and, you know, they make some fantastic, they've always made great short films. They've got great film schools. I quite like Israeli cinema. I'm a big fan. I think this is a really endearing, it's quite an insightful film as well.
Well, I do think it is an insightful film. Well, the parts that I did like, well, A, the first shot, it starts at a bakery with gorgeous, yummy sweetbreads. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to really enjoy this film. They don't stay at the bakery for long enough, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And I love that there's this human resource character who is kind of quite a maligned role, and he really he does go on quite a tremendous internal journey from where he starts to where he ends. And I really like that. He does make quite significant changes to his life. And he's a fantastic, charismatic actor as well, who's played him. It's Mark Ivanov.
He's a Russian guy. Now, he's actually appeared in a lot of Hollywood films, because I think he can
he plays the
bad Russian.
He plays the bad Middle Eastern guy. Yeah, yeah. And he, I think I actually know him, because as soon as he came on the screen, I'm like, he seems very familiar. And I think it was from his TV work in Dollhouse.
Is that Joss Whedon?
It is.
Yeah, Joss Whedon.
For the Joss Whedon fans out there, you might recognise his face.
Yeah, and his journey, I mean, you know, he's estranged from his wife, he's got a teenage daughter, you know, obviously there's problems there.
He's got a crappy job.
He's basically, his mother runs the company, you know, he's been given the job because of that. And so there's all these, you know, kind of, and he's got to do the right thing by taking this body back to Romania, which you never find it, it's Romania, but you sort of do afterwards, which I don't think it really matters per se.
No, I thought it did look like Siberia at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually found out through my research that the novel it is actually based on. They actually do go to Siberia. This is based on a novel. I don't know why they quite changed it to Romania or Eastern Europe. I mean, it just looked,
money,
but you can imagine.
I'm sure it's a money thing. I'm sure it's like the Romanians just said, we'll give you X amount of dollars to do it here.
And you know, they need, there are some special, well, I mean, I don't want to say special effects, but there is a tank involved.
Yeah, that's great. So it's a road movie. If you like road movies, you know, these Molly Crew people get together, you know, it's a happy ending. But you know, it's a really emotional film. The journey is fantastic. What they go through is quite funny. You know, they pick up this, the kids, the woman's kid along the way, who's just, you know, this, you know, surly teenager. It's a silly teenager.
Oh, there's lots of silly teenagers.
Today.
Yeah.
There's lots of silly teenagers. So, you know, I think it's, I found this really enjoyable. I really, really enjoyed this film. So,
well, I didn't really enjoy it quite as much as you. I think because it had been built up for, you know, in my mind as more of a comedy. And for me, it was not funny.
Yeah.
And I think that might be maybe my expectations were out of sync with what it actually was. And if I had have known, oh, look, it's a drama with a few funny moments, maybe that would have helped me. But I found it pretty tough going, to be honest.
And quick content,
zero.
There's none in this. Yeah.
Zero.
My quick content, I thought the lead actor was quite handsome. This Mark, even if I thought he was.
Yeah, he is very charismatic. There's nothing in it for the ladies, really. So what are you...
I'm giving you 3.5 stars.
I'm going to have to give it 2.5 stars.
Yes. It's in limited release as of from next week, but there are actually advanced screenings this weekend. So check your directories for screening details for the Human Resources Manager. Up next, we'll be talking Thor. This is My House from Hercules and the Love Affair. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. Thor, the powerful but arrogant warrior, is cast out of the fantastic realm of Asgard and sent to live amongst humans on Earth. But he must return to his home planet, as there is a traitor in the royal court, and their legendary enemies, the Frost Giants, will soon enter and destroy the world. Banished on Earth, Thor meets physicist Jane Foster, but he must find a way back.
I have sacrificed much to achieve peace. Thor, through your arrogance and stupidity, you have opened these peaceful realms and innocent lives to the horror and devastation of war.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy.
You are an old man and a fool!
You're unworthy!
Father,
I am. I now take from you your power! I cast you out!
good Lord, I cast you out.
I am just, I'm trying so hard not to laugh during that. I mean, out of context, it seems ridiculously funny.
It does. And it's Anthony Hopkins being all, rah, I'm chewing up the scenery and spitting it out.
He hasn't got long to make his presence felt.
But he's got an eye patch, damn it, because he gets his eye catch.
How can he act with just one eye?
Oh, look, Anthony Hopkins can act with his fingernails and still impress and go, rah. It's directed by Kenneth Branagh, who, of course, you know.
It's amazing that he directed this.
Mr. Shakespeare. Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the, you mentioned the Hollywood suits going, who are we going to get for the, I'm not going to put an accent on because that would be terrible. But, you know, who are we going to get for this, you know, this in this film? And someone at some point has seen his version of Hamlet, which is extraordinary, and the big scenes in the Royal Court are fantastic. And they've gone, all right, we need pageantry, we need bigness, we need, let's get that Hamlet guy. Because there's no real
Hamlet
reason
dude.
Why. Yeah, the Hamlet guy. Let's get the Hamlet dude. There's no real reason why Kenneth Branagh, I mean, he hasn't really done much to, you know, to go, wow, he can do a superhero film. But then again, you look at why they picked Tim Burton to do Batman after he did, you know, Pee Wee Herman and Beetlejuice, you know, and you go, well, why not give him a go? He does a good job.
Throw the kid a bone.
He's like 50 or 45 years old. Throw the kid a bone. Look, I actually enjoy this film. You know, I'm not partial to blockbusters generally, but I mean, I do look when they're fun and they're kind of done well with it, you know, sense of humor, tongue in the cheek. I go with it. Like Iron Man was great. You know, that was really fantastic. That benefited greatly from Robert Downey Jr. But you know, it was pretty fantastic. This Chris Hemsworth, of course, you know, the Australian boy, he was in Home and Away and
has made it good.
He's buffed up and, you know, what have you. He's actually very good. You know, this is
he's kinda weird looking, don't you think?
He's kinda odd looking. Yeah, he's strange. I kept focusing on his eyelashes. It's just strange.
Weird. Sonia's also saying that she's a bit disturbed by his facial hair.
Disturbed. Yeah, especially. But he's actually very, very good. I really liked him in this film. He doesn't look, you know, this is not Hamlet, so you don't have to, you know, go through this huge character arc, but you know where he's going to. But he's good. You go, you know what? You are going to be a star. Keep your head on your shoulders and you will be a big star in Hollywood.
Well, he's got a few Thor movies coming up.
He has, with the Avengers, because the whole, I'm really not down with the whole Marvel verse, but there's Thor and Captain America coming out this summer, or this American summer, this year, I mean, but 2 months here. And there's Iron Man and something else. The Hulk, I think, as well. Anyway, there's like four of them.
The Green Lantern, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. There's about four or five of them, and they're all getting for the Avengers, and that's directed by Joss Whedon.
Oh, that's exciting. That is actually really exciting because he does have a good sense of humor about these things.
So I think that's what I'm actually looking forward to. I will put myself through Captain America.
Wow.
Just to see, because the Avengers next year will, I reckon, be a lot of fun. In the meantime, this is quite good. Look, the thing that doesn't work about this, the romance, Natalie Portman's great. She's Natalie Portman. But the romance doesn't really work. It's a bit silly in this film. Kat Dennings as the comic sidekick to Natalie Portman's pretty good. She's got some great lines.
Wait a second, just going back. Is Natalie Portman a physicist?
Oh, she's a smart, good-looking, strong, sexy physicist.
You know, they all are.
They all are. Every single one of them.
I don't know if
don't
you know
dispute
that.
It. They all are. So, yeah, and they all look like Natalie Portman. So, you know, like in terms of her character, yeah, basically, you know, she's wanting to find, I don't even know what she's trying to find in the middle of something. Some
physicist
some
stuff.
Storm physicist.
What a physicist do I?
Anyway, and Thor gets banished. He gets thrown down on Earth and they hit, and she's out driving and they hit, she hits him with the car and then, you know, XYZ. So that's not really much in it, and it's not much point really about their romance, but it's just, you know.
Is that humanizing him? Because now he loses his power on Earth, right?
He does, correct. Because he has his power is a big hammer. Right. And basically, and Anthony.
And you're not using that in as a euphemism
no,
for something else.
Well, there's many. You can draw many parallels in this film. Mm-hmm. So he basically loses his hammer. And when he gets banished to Earth, he loses it. And basically, the Anthony Hopkins character, the father, says, whoever is worthy of wielding the sword can carry it. It gets thrown into Earth, you know, conveniently. It lands like 2 kilometers away from where Thor is banished, like really dirt.
That's nice.
And it's basically like an Excalibur thing where it's in a whole lot of concrete or rock. So basically, you know, whoever pulls it out is worthy. And Thor ends up trying to pull it out, but he can't because, you know what? He's not worthy. I kept imagining Wayne's World, Garth and Wayne going, you're not worthy in that point.
You're not worthy.
You're not worthy. Look, the thing about this film, you know, it's made for 14-year-old boys, let's face it. And, you know, and it's fun. For so what
it's right up your alley then.
It's right up my alley. I actually went in thinking, you know, it's going to be blah. It's kind of fun. It's a three-star film.
Three-star film. That's, you know, great.
It's entertaining and it ticks all those buttons. There's only a few moments of slow-mo violence, which annoy me. It's pretty chaste. There's not a lot of violence in it. There is a lot of killing, but it's not, you know...
Off-screen.
Well, no, it's not like monsters and, you know, it's all a bit, you know, fantasy-like. So, it's fine. I didn't...
And was there any queer content just finally?
No,
apart from, you know, Chris getting his gear off.
Yeah, exactly. If you like moment. Muscle Mary's, go for it, you know, in that regard. He's just big and hairless and... No, it's not... It's just
with a big hammer.
Yeah, a big, large, wide hammer.
Mm, great.
Yeah, so anyway, so that's Thor. You know, it's good for what it is. It's good for what ails
you. And it's playing everywhere.
It's playing goddamn absolutely everywhere. Yeah. So, but, you know, I think as part of the Marvel Universe, it's worth it. So, and that's Thor, I guess. Right now, we'll be playing Robin, Hang With Me. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
And that's it for another week of Pink Popcorn. Good Lord.
It's gone so quick. And I just wanted to give a big, big thanks to Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream, who has filled in for Alan. Alan's off jetting about, and Sonia has been pushing the buttons for us today, doing a fantastic job.
Hooray.
I would recommend checking out her show Tuesdays at 10 p.m. If you like film stuff and you particularly like sci-fi, I have been told... You must listen to this show. I was told just by Sonia there because I didn't have my genres quite right. So check it out. And also you can check out her podcast, which is on the Joy website under Sci-Fi and Scream.
Wow. And next week, what are we... Because I'll be...
Where are you off next week? You're off.
I'm down the peninsula. I'm just having a week off.
I can't believe you don't even have a good story. You're not even going overseas.
No.
You're just leaving me to my own devices.
Exactly.
Well, luckily, I have found someone to replace you.
And it's the very, very, very capable Conrad.
Conrad Brown will be joining me in the studio next week, and we will be talking about Source Code.
Bit of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, I can't go wrong there. And also a new film that is screening as part of the First Look program at Acme called On Tour, about some American burlesque dancers in France.
Wait.
I know. It's going to be another great show next week.
Absolutely. And you can stay in contact with us via all the social networks, Facebook, Twitter, or on the blog. All the links are at joy.org/pinkpopcorn.
And I'd just like to say thank you to James for SMSing in and saying that he's loving some of the tracks we're playing today. That is Paul's music choice.
Yes, thank you, James. And lots of Australian stuff today, so we're really thrilled.
And
new
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The Tim and John, I just can't get enough of that.
Oh, you
it's
love
amazing.
It. If you do want to hear have the entire playlist, that's actually listed on our blog. So just go to Pink Popcorn on the Joy website and you'll be able to go to the blog, and there is Paul's track listing for all the songs we played today.
And coming up next is Adam Todd with Bandcamp. So until next week, see you at the movies.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.